Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everybody, welcome to Strip Search, the comic strip podcast, and we are not in some dank little studio today, are we, Dave London?
We are not. We're in a very wide open room.
That's right, we are at the Boston Kids Comic Fest at Pine Manor College in Chestnut Hill. I'm Pete Chianca with Dave London, as always, and it is April 27th?
We probably should know.
And that is the date of this wonderful affair. And we are here recording our podcast in the midst of the exhibitor room where more than 30 cartoonists and illustrators are showing their wares and selling and talking. And there's workshops and panels and lots of stuff going on here today. And we're very excited to be here, aren't we, Dave?
Incredibly excited and honored to be not only doing our podcast, but also exhibiting as well.
That's right. We are here with our comic strip Pet Peeves. We have our new book out. And maybe we will sell one or two. We'll see. Day is young. But we are going to be taking a walk around later and meeting some of the people who are behind this great event. We recently saw a bunch of superheroes walk by. She-Hulk is here, a couple of other famous people, and we'll be able to sort of fill you in on what's going on. So stay tuned for more of Strip Search, the comic strip podcast, live on tape from the Boston Kids Comic Fest. Okay, everybody, we are here with Jonathan Todd, one of the co-founders of the Boston Kids Comic Fest. We've spoken to him many times, and you know, we're here about midway through the day. How's it going?
I'm very impressed. I mean, the main organizers, Nina and Liza, they did such an amazing job. It's I see families enjoying themselves, and that's, to me, that just shows the success of it. Just people having a good time.
Yeah,
just like it's simple. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like
exactly.
People are having a good time.
Do you have a sense how the crowd compares this year versus last year? Is it too early to tell?
I think it's more. I heard that the parking lots are full. Unfortunately, some panels were like over full, and so some people had to be turned away because there weren't any more seats.
Yeah, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
So. No, I mean we've been seeing it all day. We're in sort of a central location here at the exhibitors section, and just, you know, a lot of smiling families. Some tired kids. We just talked to a couple of kids came straight from their soccer game right here. You know, we got She-Hulk walking by. The Squirrel Girl is here. So, yeah, it's really something.
How do you find it's working with the multiple locations? Because last year it was in a more condensed situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right here we have multiple college buildings. How's that going?
Well, I've been really impressed by the signage, all those little yellow signs that kind of like follow the Yellow Brick Road. And they seem to be effective. I mean, I've been trying to help people out when I can. You know, I think it's good for kids to get out and walk. Yeah. And it's a nice day. So people are finding their way, and a lot of helpful volunteers in blue shirts. So I think it's good to have the space, especially on a nice day.
Yeah.
And then it just makes it feel just not crowded, you know. So
well,
I think it's going well.
Yeah, no, it's nice and spread out. You don't feel like you're cramped. And I see a ton of people talking, at least to the exhibitors, and, you know, buying books and talking to them about what they do, which is sort of even more important because you want to inspire the kids, you know, who are interested in comics and are interested in cartooning themselves. And this is a chance to actually talk to people who do it, which is great.
Yeah.
So we will definitely catch up with you again, see how the day is progressing. But thanks for stopping by for a few minutes.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Oh,
yeah.
My pleasure.
I'm a big fan of you guys.
All right. Excellent. All right, everybody. We're back at the Boston Kids Comic Fest with Liza Haley, one of the main planners and organizers of this event. And you are probably exhausted. Am I correct?
Well, it is.
I can only imagine.
It's good to sit down right now, but I'm so pumped. Like, you cannot believe how pumped I am right now. I cannot believe it's like such great energy here right now.
Oh,
it's great.
Yeah, it's terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, were you nervous going into a different venue, bigger, you know, new location?
Well, there's two things. Like, generally, I'm not a pessimist. I'm very optimistic, but I've coordinated a lot of events before, and you never know. You literally just never know. So I'm like, we did the best we absolutely could. We put it all into it. We had an amazing group of volunteers doing this fest this year. It was just, I'm so inspired by all the people and all the energy and time they put into it. And look, it's amazing. It paid off, but I knew it would.
Yeah. You know, it's such a family event. I just think that's so key.
Yeah.
People are looking for this type of thing. You know, there's not enough of it.
I agree. And, you know, we did, like, all of the PR, it says 8 to 12-year-olds, but there's such a range. There's people with baby carriages, people with, like, kids under the age of 6. Clearly, they don't have older kids, but they brought them anyway. And I think they're all having an awesome time.
Yeah.
So it's great.
Have you gotten any feedback from the visitors? Has anyone...
Well, yes, because I have some really good friends that came from Vermont. And they've already done a Scriblet workshop, and then they went to another workshop, and they are so inspired. And they met Raoul III, and they got his book, like, years ago, and didn't know, didn't make the connection I was going to be here, and they were, like, so psyched to meet him. So I've gotten that feedback, and then I've been sitting at the Young Artist table most of the day, and it's really a wonderful vibe. There's been a steady stream of 3 to 5 kids selling their artwork, and a lot of people are stopping. And one of the magical moments at the fest for me so far is that one of our exhibitors has come over and talked to the young artists and, like, talked about how much she likes their artwork and give them some tips about panels that I didn't know about, making the panel dark on the outside so then you draw your eye in. So, like, it's amazing the energy going back and forth between all the different exhibitors.
Dave, if only you had this when you were a young lad.
I know, back when I didn't have anyone at the dark ages.
Well, one of the people who's on the recent grad panel brought his comics from when he was in 5th grade. And he has been talking to the young artists, he's sitting right next to them, about how he wishes he had this when he was growing up. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he said that his teacher would throw away his comics. Yeah.
Teachers.
And then one of the young artists at our table has a teacher who actually has created a booklet of panels for kids, and it's part of their regular writing, is that they have to write a comic.
That's awesome.
Isn't that amazing? And then that's how this kid in 2nd grade sold his work here. Because his teacher inspired him to do it.
Now that's how you're supposed
to
do it.
So that's the way it should be, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean, it just feels like, it hit the big time to me. Like, you know, like last year was the scrappy underdog, you know, and now it just really feels like, you know, a major event.
Has the university been good to you?
Oh, Pine Manor College has been amazing. They've, like, you know, obviously we've had a million emails. Mina has been emailing back and forth with them a lot, and they've been so responsive.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thank you
well,
so
thank
much.
You for taking time
out
of your busy day.
Yes, I'm so excited
we'll
you guys
here
are here.
If you'd like to give us any updates.
Okay, yeah, maybe I'll come back with lessons learned at 5.
Thank you, Liza. Okay, everybody, we are back with Strip Search, the comic strip podcast, live on tape from the Boston Kids Comic Fest. And we are here with Andrea Bergstein. Did I get it right?
You did.
From Scriblet, which is an awesome, like, again, all we've been talking about all day is why didn't they have this when we were kids? And this goes, I think, right to the top of the list. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about what it is and how it works?
I sure can. Scriblet is a free website for kids with writing and illustration tools to really spark their creativity and allow them to create and then publish their very own comic or hardcover book.
That's amazing. So then, they can order it right there, and it's not just online. You get an actual physical.
That is correct. They can place an order, and within 2 weeks, it is shipped to wherever they want it shipped to.
Mm-hmm. Is it everybody from, you know, stick figures right up to more talented, more established?
It really is open to everybody and their own abilities, because you can upload drawings that you've done yourself, or you can use photographs. Or you can use Scriblet's illustrative function and pick and click from backgrounds and characters and animals to create your own images from lots and lots of choices.
So if you're a writer, like, well, looking at myself, you know, we're a comic strip team. Dave
right.
does the drawing.
Okay.
I do the writing. So if you're someone like me who maybe doesn't have quite that level of ability.
Exactly.
I'd have some options if I just wanted to come up with
exactly.
The film. That's awesome.
You can tell the story and look elsewhere for the images, or you can upload your own images, which is great too.
And do you have a different price range if you want to actually publish the book?
Yeah, publishing has two choices. You can do a comic format, which is soft cover, but a beautiful glossy paper and full color for $16.99. And the hardcover book, which also has a beautiful hardcover glossy cover with full color inside for $24.99.
Excellent.
And we have gift cards available too, so you can always just check it out, and it makes a great birthday present.
And did you start it yourself?
I did start it myself.
No, and are you an artist or cartoonist?
No, my background is in marketing, and I worked on kids' products my whole career, from Mattel toys to Nelvana Animation Studios and everything in between. So I really was talking to kids and moms and dads from the very start.
So you just sort of saw a need, basically.
I saw a need with my own kids and with schools, actually. And now we do a lot with teachers and helping classroom publishing projects get off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really quick and easy way for teachers to get the students creating graphic novels or creating stories tied into the curriculum.
We had talked to Liza Haley, who's one of the organizers here, about how comic books, graphic novels, how they sort of, you know, can lead to all sorts of other kinds of reading. Like they sort of give you an introduction for a kid who maybe is not the most voracious reader or is not as interested. But so this strikes me as something, you sort of give them an entree into that type of creating, and it leads to other sort of...
It's true. There are a lot of reluctant readers out there and kids who just don't feel comfortable handling a whole book. Mm-hmm. And graphic novels are a perfect way to get kids interested in reading and interested by drawing them in with the images. But they learn a lot using graphic novels, and you would be surprised how much just by, you know, learning sequencing and learning to decipher the emotional reactions on people's faces, or being able to combine text and image to create satire.
Mm-hmm. That's terrific. Well, thank you so much for taking
the Thanks a lot for talking with me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure.
Visit Scriblet.com.
Okay, we are here with a very special guest at the Boston Kids Comics Fest who's going to tell us a little bit about some of the workshops. What is your name?
Evan.
And where are you from, Evan?
Reading.
Oh, Reading. So, yeah, you drove a little ways to get here. What have you done so far?
Well, I've been to some workshops.
And what did you do in those?
Well, first, like, folding to make a comic.
Oh, so you, like, fold the paper, and then when you're done, it looks like a real little booklet?
Yeah, for making comics.
That's cool. Was that cool? What was the topic of your comic? Did you draw one yourself?
Not yet. I just folded it.
Okay.
Probably gonna work on it at home.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of opportunities here for coming up with your own comics and doing your own kind of drawing. And what are you gonna do next?
Are
you gonna walk around and take a look at some of the comics
probably,
and things?
Probably.
Uh-huh. But do you are you a big fan of comics? Is that why you came today?
Well, I do love comics.
Yeah, which ones are your favorites?
Like, if you consider, like, Diary of a Wimpy Kid one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's that was my son's favorite.
I love those books.
Did you ever read Marty Pants?
No.
You'll have to ask. Right down here, there's an artist named Mark Parisi. He draws, they're called the Marty Pants books, and they're very much like the Wimpy Kids, and I think they're even funnier. So you'll have to take a look at those and see
okay.
if you like them. Tell them
okay.
the guys at Pet Peeves sent you.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you for talking to us today, Evan. I hope
You're
you
welcome.
Have fun.
You too.
Take care. Hi, everybody. We are back at the Boston Kids Comic Fest with another special guest. From Pine Manor College, the host of the event, we have Meg Carney. Thank you for sitting down with us, Meg.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So how did this... Now, we went to the event last year,
right.
which was in a church.
Amazing.
This is a big step up. So how were you involved
yeah,
in sort of...
Yeah, it's such a lovely campus, isn't it?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
it's just that it's perfectly suited for an event like this.
It is, and the weather cooperated too, because we had all that rain yesterday, and now it's lovely outside, the sun's shining, everybody can walk around this, you know, lovely kind of 19th century meets 21st century campus.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's how many students go here? It's a...
The undergraduate program is very small. There's about 400 students.
Okay.
And I'm the director of the MFA, Master of Fine Arts and Creative Writing program here. Mm-hmm. It's the only master's program at the college. And we have about 30 students.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
And this is an interesting partnership. Like, I mean, you know, cartoonists, graphic novels, you know, this
yes.
type of thing. Not necessarily what you think of when you think of an MFA program.
That's very true. But... We're trying to change that kind of thinking.
Yeah.
Yes. We have concentrations in all the traditional genres, poetry, creative nonfiction, writing for children and young adults, fiction, of course, but we also have a concentration in comics and graphic narratives.
Wow, that's amazing.
Can you tell us how you got involved with the Boston Kids Comic Fest?
Yes. Well, one of the organizers and founders of the festival is Jonathan Todd. And Jonathan is one of our alumni. So it was really Jonathan. He came to our program saying, look, you know, I'm an artist. I know how to draw comics, but I really need help in storytelling. So he got his MFA with us, and, you know, we really focus not only on the art, but on the writing. And so by the time Jonathan graduated, Scholastic had already picked up his middle grade graphic novel that he's been working on as a student here. And then he got involved with the Boston Kids Comics Fest, and they met with us maybe 6 months ago now and pitched the idea of having the event here at Pine Manor College. And we said, that's a perfect partnership. Let's do it.
And it is turning out that was prescient. Because
I think
it really is working out well. For taking a look around here today, you know, it's a steady flow of crowds coming through. And I feel like it's inspiring a lot of young potential creators.
I think so, too. I've seen so many kids with books in their hands and pencils and, you know, drawing utensils in their hands, and everybody seems to be having a really great time.
Yeah. And it's interesting what you were saying about storytelling, and I was just at the headliners panel with the headliners from this event, and that's one of the main things they were discussing, how it's not really, we're not talking about writing and illustration necessarily, it's all sort of part and parcel for storytelling. How do you move the story? And how do you do that visually? And how, you know, and as Erica Henderson was saying on this panel, you know, the storytelling doesn't stop when the words end necessarily in a comic or graphic novel. So you have to sort of think differently.
That's right. Yeah, it's a real marriage of text and illustration, and one really relies on the other, you know, very much as is the case with picture books too. And that's another concentration that our students can focus on here.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Have you gotten any feedback either from guests who are here or people that are running this behind the scenes that you can share with us?
We've had a lot of people just say, oh, we were here last year and this is so much bigger and better, you know. Some of our guests that we've had at the Solstice MFA program here at Pine Manor are here, like Joel Christian Gill and Marika Makula. So it's exciting to see them again, too, and you know, meet some new artists who we might bring in as guests ourselves. So
hopefully we can make this an annual event here in the Boston Kids Comic Fest at Pine Manor.
That would be fabulous.
And if someone is interested in learning more about Pine Manor College and about your program in particular, maybe when they visit the website, what's the best way to...
The website's a great way to find out about us. It's www.pmc, as in Pine Manor College.edu. And if you want to go directly to the MFA program site, you also go to pmc.edu/MFA.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking some time.
My pleasure, guys.
Today.
It was really nice to be invited to speak with you, and have a great rest of your afternoon.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. We are back with another special guest at the Boston Kids Comics Fest. We're talking to Aisha Virgo, who works at Pine Manor College, the host of the event. You're in undergraduate admissions, is that right?
Yes, I work in the undergraduate admissions. I'm the admissions counselor, one of the admissions counselors there. So I work with first-year students and transfer students.
Oh, terrific. Well, so I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity to tell you that I have a junior in high school who is looking around.
Oh, right.
So what advice do you have if for the high school kids who are trying to figure out, you know, what do I want when I finally, you know, go up to college?
Well, looking into a college, I would definitely say you got to know what type of school you're looking for. So that's from size to what major you want to do. Also looking into what the school offers you, look into what internships they do, how do they help their students for their career path after leaving college, because the hardest thing after college is figuring out what job you want to do.
Yeah.
So here at Pine Manor, within 6 months, our students definitely know where they're going towards, even if it's a master's degree or having a full-time job that's heading towards their end goal career. So that's something to look forward to.
And this is a small school, so
yeah.
I imagine everybody sort of feel like they know everybody.
Yeah, we definitely have that support throughout the campus. You're going to be networking from beginning to end. So that's something great that our students look forward to, because even in admissions, I have students that, you know, that I'm talking to that we build that connection because I'm helping them, you know, get their letters of recommendations, you know, doing the interview. We require interview here at Pine Manor College, so which is really great. The students really get to tell us more about themselves, because you can't see everything about a student just based on, you know, their application.
Right.
So it's really great to dig deep with the students and just see what their mind is at, what they're looking to get into.
Right. And with a smaller class that you're dealing with, mm-hmm. you can do that. Like for bigger schools,
yeah,
they can't meet everybody individually.
Right, which is really great.
And do you do the interviews here? Does everyone come here for an interview? Or
it's different for each student. Sometimes I go to schools to do interviews. Sometimes students come here. For further students, we do it over the phone. We've done FaceTime. I've done actually, you know, on the actual cell phone or, you know, mm-hmm. office phone. So.
What's the farthest away somebody has been that you've interviewed?
I've dealt with students that are out the country, so I've done phone interviews for students that like are in like Haiti, you know, Africa. So yeah, dealt with students from all around the world.
Wow. And so in terms of an event like this, I know this isn't usually part of your job.
Yeah.
How does this sort of play into the whole college experience and experience that you have of recruiting and
It's definitely exposure. Like, these kids are young, but they understand that even at a young age, they understand that they're at a college. They understand that this is going to be a step in life that they have to take. So for them, just to have that exposure, they're going to remember. They're good. They've seen something from Pine Manor before. We had these little gators that the kids were going crazy over. Mm-hmm. So I end up running out of them. But I know that's something that they may hold on to for a while. So when they do get older, they might see the gators and be like, hey, I had one of those when I was little. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it was from this school. I remember I went to this comic fest. And, you know, little stuff like that will create like a trigger to them. And they will remember the name of Pine Manor. So even at a young age, you can always start recruiting from this age.
Yeah, you don't necessarily think about it, but kids don't necessarily have the opportunity to see a college campus. Not everybody has one down the street or
around the corner
where you would think to go, or one that sponsors the type of event. Like Dave and I both went to Tufts.
Okay.
And when we were there, they had a kids' day every year. Do you remember that?
That is so awesome.
Yeah, and they have rides and games, and you know, and two good friends of ours were the Jumbo. The Jumbo is the mascot of Tufts, so they got to wear the elephant suit.
Aww.
And show the kids around.
That's awesome.
And I remember at the time the woman who ran the program saying, gotta start them now. Thinking about college.
Yeah.
College is a good thing. College is something I want to do.
Right.
Those were kids from Medford and Somerville. Maybe we're not necessarily, you know, being raised in a family where that was top of mind.
Exactly.
Maybe they would have been the first kids in their family to go.
Right.
So it got them on that track, and an event like this is much the same.
Right. It's definitely great seeing all these little kids just around wedding. Seeing that excitement over books is really good, especially in this day and age. Like, I feel I grew up in that time where I understand life without, you know, with all these big gadgets, but I still like the big gadgets because as an adult now, I'm like, you know, taking advantage of it. So to see these young kids still so happy to get a hard copy book,
yes.
And you see them running over to their parents like, can I get this one? Can I get this one? It's like, ooh, yay.
Yeah.
Like, you still have that spark there for books, and it's great to see that even though with all this technology they can just read it on their iPads, but they want that hardcover copy. So
yeah.
It's nice to see.
And it's nice to get, you know, we just were talking to a kid who got a an autograph and a drawing, you know, in the front, and he's running around showing it to everybody. It's like, you know, this is, you know, you can't get that on your iPad.
Definitely.
So you can, but then it's really hard to get it.
Don't use permanent marker. Well, Aisha, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, so
this comic book. It looks really nice. Love the comic
book. Thank you very much. This is the plug. And we're going to send people, we're going to have a link to Pine Manor College on our website, so if people are interested in learning more can see what it's all about.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank
it was great speaking with you guys.
All right, you take care. All right, so tell me your first name and what you're working on and what your comic's about.
My name is Grace, and my comics are, they're about this man named Bill, and he's just really stupid, and he does a lot of stupid things.
I would absolutely read that comic. That is awesome. Are you having fun here today?
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, how about you? What's your name?
My first name is AJ, and my comic is about some poop that's living and wants to escape a toilet monster.
Oh, that's excellent. So it's like an adventure comic. If you could tell me your first name and what you're working on today.
My name is Wesley, and I'm making a series called Folk Tale Comics. This first one is about Slavic mythology. It's about a boy who lives in Minnesota and looks for his missing brother, and he goes into this magical realm full of Slavic mythology and meets all kinds of different gods and goddesses.
That sounds awesome. You came up with that yourself?
Yeah.
That's terrific. And are you selling these today? I have to buy one. Well, thank you very much for talking to me. All right, everybody. We have come to the end of another Boston Kids Comics Fest. Things are wrapping up here at Pine Manor College in Chestnut Hill. And it was another amazing day, wouldn't you say, Dave?
Incredible day. It was just, the weather was great, people came out, and comparatively to last year, you can just see the increase in the crowd. Just the facility is a wonderful place to host this. I hope they do this for many years to come.
And I'm sure they will. And the best part is we got through an entire day at a comic convention without hearing one Avengers Endgame spoiler.
Well, which is important. Of course, I don't know about you, but I have tickets for tonight.
And I have tickets for tomorrow. So I was very stressed that, you know, some kid was going to come up to me and say, hey, did you know they all died at the end? But they didn't. And so I considered the day a success.
And that means you and I can't talk after tonight until you see them.
Right. Absolutely. Because I know you won't be able to control yourself. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. Make sure to visit us at petpeevescomic.com, where we'll have a new podcast that's fun, and where you could find 3 new Pet Peeves comic strips every week and buy our book, Pet Peeves, the Collection. Thanks, everybody.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.